So how do you know James? You guys are in kind of the same business, I know.
Yeah, a little bit different audiences. So we got connected, man, I bet, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Nice.
By a guy named Ed Molitor. Ed is a former college basketball coach out of the Chicago Metroplex, runs a program called The Athletics of Business.
Nice.
So Coach Ed and I had connected really around the compete every day mentality. And he's like, you're in Dallas. He was like, I know a guy that just moved there. You should connect with James. And so we got connected through Ed and then Get Coffee, or used to get coffee about once a month, once every few weeks when travel schedules weren't a little bit crazy as they are now. And so, yeah, small world here in DFW.
It's pretty cool. Your brand Compete Every Day, that started what, 2011 was when you launched it?
Yeah, I was, man, selling t-shirts out of the trunk of my car behind a CrossFit gym in Dallas. So
I love that.
It's been a wild ride since then, I'll say.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is that it kind of brings a question to mind. It very, very much specifically directed at like t-shirt sales, because I'm interested with a lot of people go down that road and they start with the clothing with t-shirts, and there's a bunch of local companies around here. But did you find that people were actually attracted to certain brands based on maybe like a message that they would link to the t-shirt?
Yeah, a couple of things on that. So it was really interesting. It was the brand message that stood out the most initially. The idea of, yeah, man, I show up and compete every day. And then once you started kind of pulling back the layers of what we were trying to teach and communicate, people bought in, obviously at a whole different level at that point. But really early on, it was like phrases and things that would more motivate, but really empower people of like, when I wear this, this is what I feel like. And the t-shirt game, it's a low barrier to entry. It's a whole lot more expensive to get into now than it was 10 years ago, especially this last 6 months.
The goods and everything.
Killed everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, everybody loves a good t-shirt to wear.
I love that.
The challenge comes in really, and this is where you see it over the long game, is can you build a brand or do you just sell catchy t-shirts? And that's really kind of that switch, because for a lot of shirts and a lot of people, they love what the t-shirt says. They couldn't tell you in a million years where they got it, which does the business no good.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if it's about the brand, then there's a lot of different angles and things you can do for that, that still buy into that same brand message. I mean, right here, I'm wearing Noble. I love a lot of their gear mentality. They started as shoes. They do a whole lot more now. But they've got their brand. And so if they were just selling a pair of shoes, there's 50 million brands out there that sell shoes. And so you've got to have that story around it. So, yeah. So I think it always starts with people being like, ooh, I like that. Let me wear that. That message speaks to me. But really, from a longevity standpoint, it's been the idea that the message, there's more to it. And it's all about how they make you feel or what they remind you of you're capable of doing.
Yeah. You separated motivation and empowerment, which is definitely, I mean, maybe the problem with fitness in general today is a lot of people who are popular on social media just tackle motivation. They don't ever go into empowerment. They say they do, you know, but the message might say, oh, I empower women, I empower men, but it doesn't, empowerment comes from within, motivation is external. So I like that you said that, because that is maybe the thing that has always been missing, is the separation of the two anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I hate the phrase motivational speaker. That is kind of a catchy, easy way to introduce me. I feel like Chris Farley, Van Down by the River, Matt Foley kind of character, but it's an easy, easy, people get it.
Yeah.
The difference is like you talked about, I try to focus on the empowerment, because really what that is, and the way I love to tell people, is my goal is to encourage, equip, and empower you. So than anything, I want to give you the tools and then really help you build the confidence to use the tools. Motivation, what Zig Ziglar said, motivation is kind of like bathing. You got to do it every day. Like, you got to wake up and have it. Yeah. And for a lot of us, pretty much all of us, we have days we're not motivated. We don't feel the motivation. We may have a purpose and a why, but we don't feel like doing the work. And so those are the days that when you feel empowered, that I can still make progress, I can still go to the gym, I can still do work on my goals, even though the day has sucked, I have no energy, I'm not motivated to do it. Those are usually the most confident building days, because at the end of it, you can look back and be like, this was a crappy day.
Yeah.
I didn't have my best, but I still found a way to get better. That totally boosts your confidence ending a tough day, going into another one that you are empowered and capable of still getting after your goals.
Well, you know, it's also too, like, you're not telling people to rely on you, really. You're not telling people to be like you. You're telling people to be like themselves and find out what that really means for their journey. Cause I guess if this always, I always bring it back to fitness, is waking up and understanding what it is that's this deeper that pushes you to the gym or pushes you to do something you love within fitness. Right. So
yeah, it's why would you want to be me? Like, there's things I do well, there's things I freaking suck at. But that's never been the goal for me. And yeah. I don't feel like that should be the goal for any of us. I think we should always look to people and learn from them, but why would you want to be just like them when they could be chasing a different goal? They have a different journey. They have struggles. They're not posting on social media, and you probably don't want to deal with some of that struggle, just like you don't want to deal with some of your own.
Yeah.
And so really the goal is, like, how do I just go online and the people I follow, how can I just learn from them and say, oh, cool, man, you got really good at sumo deadlift, or you're really good at kipping pull-ups. Let me learn how you did that, instead of, oh, I just want to be that person, because that devalues your worth and your identity and everything that you're capable of doing. And that's a whole other path. But that's one of the things I love about fitness, is there's a million different ways to do it. Yeah. The goal is find what you love doing, find people you love learning from, and then just do it to a level that's constantly going to challenge you, because it's the one place, and I feel like the safest place, where you learn to build grit and resilience, because you're not going to see change overnight by any means. There's not really a magic tipping point of when everything suddenly changes. You just have to consistently keep showing up every day and doing the work. And you build mental toughness when you're able to lean into that discomfort. You build confidence for life outside of the gym. And you start to discover, okay, physically, I'm capable of more than I've done in the past, hopefully opens the conversation to say, in my career, in my mentality, in my relationships, where am I selling myself short that, just like I used to physically, I can take it up to a new level?
Yeah. I'm sure it's hard to, like, pinpoint what the common thread is, but in your experience, do you see people devaluing themselves as they progress toward maybe a fitness goal or a larger dream that they've set before? Is that a major problem
when it
comes to the people you work with? Or is it, I imagine it's just dependent on who they are, though.
It depends on who they are, but I think for a lot of people, you devalue yourself along the way when you're living in comparison mode instead of competition mode.
Yes,
and I say that because comparison mode is like, where am I stacking up against you? Oh man, I did all of this work, man. I've lost 50 pounds. I can squat this weight. I can do all this, but I look at that person, I don't have that same 6-pack abs.
Awesome.
Then you like feel demotivated and you did all of this incredible work. Whereas when you look at them and you're like, man, they do a really good job. I wonder what their nutrition is like, and wonder what I can learn to add to my workout, but I'm in competition mode because it's me against me. It's me against who I was 50 pounds heavier and how I can be more focused today. And I think that's the biggest challenge, because of this little device that social media we get trapped on, that, you know,
doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling is terrible. And just living in this idea that we have to be just like someone else, instead of saying, how can I learn from them and become the best, the absolute best version of myself? But I don't need to compare myself, other than what can I learn that they do better that I can apply to my life? But my competition's with me. And that is the one thing that I think most people struggle with, is they live in a constant state of comparison versus competing against themselves. And that's obviously one of the things I'm so passionate about, is because, man, it just changes your whole world when you take that focus off of everybody else and you just focus on, what's my lane? Where's my finish line? Let me go get it.
In the case of, like, if there's a person that maybe falls under the categories of, they aren't competitive naturally, they don't have that competitive mindset, they have to be on social media for their business or something, and so it forces them to sort of scroll through social, is there still a way they can maybe overcome all those things? Because it's like, I don't know, in my brain, maybe there's that person that just has all kinds of things working against them, and they can't pull themselves out of a comparison
yeah.
mindset? Are there ways to tackle that?
Absolutely. So there's a couple of pieces to that in terms of, you know, that focus, that comparison. So people that I always hear when I go talk to organizations and individuals, yeah. oh, I'm not competitive. I don't like that. So the way I look at it is like, what do you think competition is? What's me versus you? It's beating someone else. And I'm like, well, if you actually look in the definition or in the dictionary definition, it's to strive to gain or win something.
Okay.
There's a second part that says to struggle. But you think of a word like discipline. Discipline is self-control. B is punishment. Like I'm disciplining you for something you've done. So there's always multiple ways for a lot of these words to define them. So how are you defining it? And then I challenge them and say, listen, if the real definition is to strive to gain or win something, how are you striving every day to reach your full potential or for excellence?
Wow.
Well, that, I see that as growing. Perfect. It's the same thing. Strive, struggle, gain. It's all about that growth, and growth is not easy and comfortable. So let's refocus and maybe reframe how you're seeing competition yeah. as a daily growth. If you see it as a daily growth, then it's cool. How am I going to be 1% better than I was the day before?
So it's
not me versus you. It's internal. It's all me versus me.
Yeah.
So that's the first piece. Second piece is really being intentional with your relationship with social media. And I say that because I'm someone who lives on it as well. I build business off of it. My brand, my own personal speaking brand, all built on social. So what I do is a few things. One, I schedule time of when I'm going to get on social media. I'm very intentional about what time of day I'm going to check it. And there's only a few things that will ping me on a notification that I'll immediately respond to. Second thing is when you go on and post, if your job is to build your business on social media, your job is to post, share content, comment on that content, but then it's to find other intentional content in your space. So you shouldn't be just doom scrolling your feed. You say, cool, here's the 5 to 10 accounts. I'm going to go on. I'm going to see what they posted. I'm going to see how people are responding. I'm going to comment on them. So then you've just changed the whole dynamic of how you're managing that relationship with social media. And most of us aren't doing that. We're just on it. We're posting. We want the likes. We want the attention. We keep checking the phone to see how many likes did I get. Yeah. And then we're scrolling to see what everybody else that we're comparing ourselves to is doing versus, hey, I got on, I posted a comment. Cool. Let me search hashtag compete. Let me see what people are posting. Read some comments. Let me make some cool comments on theirs and then back off. It changes how you use the platform. And really, from a mental health perspective, I think that's one of the most important things we can do. No yeah. different than, I would say, even email. I mean, the thing about email that I always go back to is email is other people's priorities. Rarely are you getting an email that's your priority. And so every day we have to outline what are our priorities? What do I need to get done to move my goals, my fitness, my life forward? Start working on, then get into email. Like even if you're in a sales role and you have to be reactive to certain emails, you still got to set your priorities and focus on it. So email, social media, just like anything in life, it requires our intentionality on how we manage that relationship.
It's the best explanation ever because it's immediately goes into the mental health perspective. And it's not even, even if you've got the business and everything, it's probably the best thing you could do to tackle your mental health in achieving these goals, because that's going to be what gets rid of all the extra thoughts that could cloud your judgment, cloud your motivation and everything, because you've got all the comparisons and you think somebody's journey is easier than you, which I find myself doing. It's like thinking that somebody's got an easier journey and why you don't have their journey as well, which is it just sets you at such a disadvantage because then you get panicked, you know?
You get panicked, you burn so much mental energy, you get decision fatigue because you're constantly thinking, what did I do wrong? It takes you down a whole other thing. And right now we're recording this, it's March 30th, spring cleaning. People are, what did I need to clean out of my closet, my garage, this. When was the last time people listening got on their social media and started cleaning out who they follow?
Yes.
Because a lot of us, we just... It's kind of like our friends. Like we just hang out with people because we're around them.
Yeah.
We don't really think about, is this relationship helping me? Is it benefiting me? Am I getting better by it, being challenged?
Love it.
It's just there. And the same with our feed. How many of us, we get caught in doom scrolling because we're following accounts we don't need to. And even to a degree, like if you're like, well, that's like a friend or a cousin or a parent. Like I don't want to unfollow or defriend them because they'll say something.
Yeah.
All you got to do is hide it. Like there's a top little three buttons on the top corner on Instagram, click hide post, hide story. Mute. You don't have to see it,
yeah.
But it's out of your feeds or you're not consuming it. no different than, you know, you're wanting to be, have a more positive mindset. You're consuming crap. Just like you want to be healthier, you're working out, you're still eating donuts and pizza and beer every day. It's not doing you any good.
I like that. And it goes back to your intentional social media thing. I think there is a potential to make social media help your mental health. I think it's a potential, but you got to do what you just said and cleaning it up. And I did it the other day. I was unfollowing a bunch of people because you look through, and I think in the beginning, you mistakenly think that you have to follow a bunch of people and then get follows back, and you start to go into the whole algorithm thing, which, by the way, freaking exhausting. It's like trying to figure out algorithms, and people make that suggestion to me. I was like, you know what? At this point, I'm trying to just push the pendulum to like real connections, you know?
Yeah. People. And I would say, you know, it's as a business owner, you get caught up in that of like, why did this post hit? That didn't.
Yeah.
You post the like same thing, reach. Same caption. One week it gets nothing. The next week it blows up.
Yeah.
And the funnier part is how many fake accounts and people are on there. And I've noticed that of like, I had somebody trolling me this morning on Facebook, and I'm like, who the hell is this person? And I go look at it. And then I look at their Instagram, and people have commented of like, oh, this guy just goes and trolls other people that are doing, and he does. I mean, literally all he does is post other people's quotes and sign his name. And so I was like, well, one, block you. And two, like it goes in to reinforce how many people have fake accounts or hide behind keyboards. And if that's the case, why are we worried about getting attention from them or what they say?
Yeah.
When our focus should just be, if you want to get better at something, just put out quality content and work on every piece of post, video, picture is just a little bit better than the time before. I even, for me personally, a while back, I just hid like counts on my Instagram. So I can't see how many likes other people have. I can't see how many likes my own post have. I just scrapped it because I was like, I don't need to see how many likes I get. I need to focus on how good the content is.
How do you do that? Wait, you can hide your likes.
You can hide the likes. So if you go, I'm going to pull it up right here. So
I'm genuinely curious. I was trying to figure this out. I don't know how to do that.
Instagram in the top right, you have the settings.
Okay.
There is a way to, is it accounts
in your setting? I'm doing it as you speak right now.
Yeah, sorry. No. Okay. Let's talk through this because I've done this. And it is in one of the settings to where you can actually hide the stuff you see.
Is it browser settings?
Captions, language, sharing, request verification. It's got to be somewhere on this. Follow and invite friends, notification, privacy. Post mentions activity status. There is a way on here, and I'm blanking on exactly, and I've done it, which is the funny part is because I'm like, I know exactly how to do this. Where actually, let's do this while we're talking. We're just going to go how to hide this on Instagram.
This is something that people would want to know. I've thought about it myself, and I was wondering.
Set top right, three bars, settings. Then you go into settings, and then it says privacy. Then you hit post. Yep. And under post, first thing, hide like and view counts.
Okay. Privacy. Okay. Let's see.
Mention then post.
Post. There we go. Okay.
Yep.
There we go.
And so what it does is it'll now say, like, you go to a post and it'll say liked by, and it'll show an account you follow that liked that post and others. And so you don't know any else. So you can click on it and scroll if you want to count people, but it takes that out. So it removes one less thing that you could see and think, well, man, I suck at posting because this post got that many likes and mine didn't. Holy so it literally shit. Removes that from you.
Oh, that's great. That's amazing. Well, I was seeing that on other people's stuff and I thought it was just my phone.
Nope. Yeah. It's just in that setting. And it's not something Instagram really wants you to use because they like the comparison to create more content, all that. But yeah, it's one of the cool new features, and they're changing out some new things in the feed that you can set favorite accounts. So if there's like with ours, like there's certain accounts, like I want to follow and make sure I don't miss their content. You set it as a favorite. It always shows up at the top of the feed. But they're doing things to help modify, because I think they're understanding there's a major mental health, even though Zuckerberg and them continue to contribute to a lot of the problem. They're trying to create some safeguards around it. And so for someone on here that struggles with comparison, clean out your feed is the best thing. Spend some time cleaning out your feed, or just hide posts and stories from people that you don't want to technically unfollow, and then remove your like counts, and you'll be at least helping manage better safeguards on that.
Wow, man, that blew my mind. That's some good practical information. Cause that's always been my question, manipulating like social media to better impact your mental state, you know, cause I can't, again, you know, it goes back to that. If you have your shit online and all your media and your content, then obviously you're going to have to figure these ways out, these practical approaches.
Yeah.
So, man, that's amazing, dude. What about, as far as people going through their journey and everything, do you ever deal with people who think they've failed and they think they get past, like, do you ever deal with that? And they feel like they've hit a wall and they can't get past it.
Every one of
big
us.
Big question.
I mean, there's nobody that hasn't gone after a goal or started a business that hadn't failed. And a lot of us have failed a ton. You go back to the quote, and I don't know if it's a Chinese proverb or what, but the master has failed more times than the student has.
Yep.
And so we think when we see success that it came quick and easy, but it's the idea of the iceberg. 10%, 15% above the water. That's what everybody sees. That's success. But similarly, an iceberg, one, takes thousands of years to develop. And two, there's 85% of it below the water that you never see. And that's the failures, the disappointments, but it's also the choice to keep getting back up and growing. In a physical sense, how many of us have failed under a heavy squat bar or a power clean or a bench? All of us.
Oh,
you don't lift constantly weights and get stronger without failure. But in that sense, we don't be like, well, I just can't do this anymore. We just say, okay, cool. My goal was 350. I hit 325 on squat. It's not, well, I suck, I should quit squatting. It's, let me start a new program. The last time I did it, my baseline was 300. Now it's 325. So I'm starting at a better position. I'm going to work my way up to 350. And we do that in a physical sense. We just don't do it in a life sense. And the reason being is one, a little bit of a fixed mindset and belief system.
Yeah.
The second is that in weightlifting, when we finish and fail at something, we immediately start working on the new program. We figure out what our new max is, even if it's not as high as we want. And then we start building an 8, 10, 12 week program to build more strength on top of it.
Yeah.
In life, we fail, we either give up or we start immediately again. And there's a third option that makes us most valuable. And that third option is right in the middle. It's failing and then taking a second, a pause, a day, a week to evaluate, what did I learn from the last attempt? What did I do well? And what do I need to do better next time? And it's that piece that, one, builds our self-awareness, but two, sets us up for a better starting position and knowledge base for that second attempt. And so if you failed at something, awesome. Welcome to the club.
Yeah,
all of us have.
It's going to keep happening.
It's going to keep happening. And the biggest challenge is starting to look at life and goal pursuits and career weightlifting as a giant science experiment. A scientist says, here's my hypothesis. Let me test it. Does it work? Does it not? Let me change something. Let me try it again. They're not beating themselves up if a hypothesis doesn't work. They're not bad talking themselves. They're not allowing themselves to go down a negative hole or just quit science altogether. They're just saying that hypothesis didn't work. Let me try another. Life is the same way. I think this is how I'm going to reach this goal. Did it work? No. Okay. What did I learn? What am I going to do differently? Let me try it again. Okay, cool. If I change this, hypothesis B is how do I get that goal? And it removes the giant emotional roller coaster that we all get stuck on and really allows us to focus on what am I doing to improve my position every day, to keep showing up, to keep being consistent, instead of just allowing one mistake or mishap to get me off track.
The other conversation, I was having a conversation with somebody too the other day. I imagine people on the other side of the coin, you know, who've got a different destination in life. Maybe it's not based on a mission they're trying to build a business around. You know, I feel like maybe people see sometimes that the push to be an entrepreneur, the push to build an empire around something can be mistaken as prideful or can be seen as a selfish pursuit. And somebody, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and it was like, it doesn't make sense that it would ever be a selfish pursuit, because you're always opening yourself up to failure and humbling opportunity. So it always seemed like the opposite to me, because you're understanding that you are going to be humiliated. Maybe, you know, it could get to that point, but you're going to grow through it. So
you're 100% accurate. I mean, the most selfish thing you can do is nothing.
Yeah.
The most selfish thing you can do is exactly. not to start a business, not to go after a goal, not to work out, not to try to be your best self, because it requires one, courage to put yourself out there and try something that fails.
Yes.
Usually when you're building a business, you're trying to do two things. You're trying to solve other people's problems that you have. And you're also trying to create employment opportunities for people that need income. So you're trying to help people on both sides of the equation. Because for a lot of there's people, there's always exceptions to the rule. So anybody that's listening, we can play the whataboutisms all game. All day. But for the most part, you're creating solutions to people's problems and you're creating employment and income opportunities for people that didn't have it. So I'm all in on a small, especially small business.
Love it.
Because it's a huge service. This the piece of that though is you're going to take arrows, you're going to take failures, you're going to take people not understanding what you're doing, you're going to take criticism. Anytime you create something and put it out there, you're subjecting it to the public opinion of letting them weigh in.
Yeah.
And you have to learn to not do that. On the flip side, when you say, you know what, I really don't like people enough to want to help them. I really don't love my family enough to want to work out so I live longer and have more energy to spend time with them. They're just not worth the effort. That's the most selfish thing you can do. It's a selfless pursuit to say, I'm going to wake up before I want to go train so that I have more energy to work better, to lead better, and to be a better spouse, husband, dad, whatever. I am going to build this. I'm going to let people laugh at me because I believe this can help other people. Like that whole idea is why I'm all about it. And so, yeah, the idea that building something of putting forth the effort to become your best is the most selfish thing is nonsense. It's selfless because it takes work and energy and effort and chances of failure and criticism, and playing it safe and doing nothing. That's just selfish because you don't want to put forth the effort for others.
And it's not that a lot of people do that or specifically say, oh, it must be selfish. I just think, you know, for me personally, growing up in a world where a lot of the message had to do with, you know, raising a family was kind of the pinnacle of your existence. Like that was the end all. And that was the ceiling that you were going to hit. And that was really kind of baked into like it was Catholic homeschooling world. It was pretty much baked into that world. And so I did notice a very real separation between those two worlds. And it's not that that wasn't a bad dream, but they kind of just got the career and they started having kids and raised a family pretty quickly. You know, it was that, and it just always astounded me. It's like, maybe a lot of things should have happened before with self-fulfillment before they even got into that, but it never worked out that way.
I mean, and that's a lot of people. And you know, our divorce rates are 50, 60% right now. There's numbers of reasons for that. One that I've seen is the idea that another person's going to complete me. And that's never the case. Like you have to work on you and bring full you to the equation, just as they do, because they're not going to complete you just like you're not going to complete them.
Yes.
But at the same time, I would say, once you have the family and the kids, your priorities have shifted. Your ability to take risk have also shifted. And so you can't do certain things that you could in when you were single.
No.
However, you can still do something. And what may have taken you a year to 2 years to launch when you were single may take you 4 to 5 because you have less hours to work on it and you're spacing it out. Doesn't mean you can't do it. Just means you have to change how you're working to fit with those priorities. And so that's where I always get back to, and I'm amazed by the moms and the dads and the people that build these side hustles as parents and things like that, because their priorities have shifted and
pretty incredible.
They haven't given up on those goals.
Yeah. And they managed to do it regardless. And there's a bunch of success stories out there that I've read about where people have had a family and they've managed to build a business and they've managed to become successful. But yeah, it makes me wonder if mental health is harder to work on if you're in that situation and then you get older and you realize that you had a dream, that there was once a dream and you feel like you're trapped. And that's such a morbid thought. It's such an awful thought, but that's what I see sometimes, especially
with people I grew up with. I mean, it's the perspective. you'll always tell yourself tomorrow or one day is better than starting today for any litany of reasons, but yeah, there's no better day than today.
Yeah.
And so if you have one life and you only have one opportunity to live, why not try to start working on something on the side? Why not try to start doing it? Like, you're never really trapped.
No, you're like,
at all in any situation. Now, there's a lot of situations that you do not want to openly walk away from, like the kids and things. Like, don't, why would you ever? That said, the kids haven't trapped you. You made choices that have you in this position. Now, that can suck, or it can be a motivating reminder that you can make choices to change your situation. But it always starts with what that next choice is, not I'm a victim to my circumstance.
Yeah. So you can kind of use the pressure to either push you down, or you can use it as fuel and fire to make you like, all right, you backed into a corner. What are you going to do about it?
As Billie Jean King said, pressure is a privilege. So you can look at it as something that's going to break you and scare you and run from, or you can look at it as an opportunity that says what I'm doing actually matters. It has a bigger impact than on just me.
I like that.
Let's go.
I like that. Actually matters. Yeah. So shifting the focus, but realizing that your purpose is going to help other people. It's not, because I feel like that would be the ultimate motivator, you know, just for motivation's sake, like knowing that, okay, no, this is going to help people. And it's not just for me. It's not a prideful pursuit. It's something that can really benefit a community, humanity.
I mean, and it just comes down to that reason. Are you doing it to be famous? Are you doing it to make an impact? And when you understand that and clarify that, you don't need other people's approval on it, because you know why you're pursuing something. And if it's okay either way, I mean, you choose the option, but if you're worried about, well, people will think it's prideful. If you know deep down, this is why I'm pursuing it because I know it can help others. Who cares what other people say? I mean, as my friend Darren Roberts says, like, we know a certain number of people are going to be at our funeral one day. Those should be the only people we care about's opinion.
That's beautiful. I'm sure in your journey though, you've been met with a lot of, I guess, pushback from people,
Friends, family. Yeah. What are you getting into? What are you doing? When are you going to go get a real job?
How are you making money? That's a good question too. Love that.
Yeah. When are you going to go get a real job? Like, I've had all of it. And you just have to learn to say, this is what I'm doing. I can maybe go do that. My heart's not like, this is what's passionate. When this fails, I'll figure out something else. But right now, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm doing. Here's the growth I'm getting. And here's why I believe what I'm doing matters. And you put your head down and you get to it. It's like in football, there's 22 kids on the field playing. There's hundreds of thousands in the stands screaming and trying to give their opinion. And there's millions more on Monday morning telling you what you should have done differently. But there's only 22 on the field. I would rather be one of the 22 on the field focused on that than worrying about anybody else in the stands or on Monday morning.
Did you ever have a go-to line whenever you'd have to go to like a dinner or something and somebody would ask you about it? Cause I feel like, you know, you start to see where the questions are going and you're like, you know, I'll tell them this.
not really. You know, I had some of the same people over and over again that would, you know, make comments and stuff. And so I just kind of knew going in, like, this person's going to ask about it. Am I still doing the t-shirt thing? Am I still doing this? Yeah, absolutely.
That has to make you feel good.
Here's how we're
still
going.
Doing the t-shirt thing, right? You're like,
some people don't understand, and that's okay. Like, I used to take it really personally. And then I just understood, like, they're on a different journey. They don't understand it. And I'm not going to let them influence my attitude, actions, or effort because I control that. And so if I'm giving them the power to do that, I'm giving away my own. And so I go into those situations because I'm confident this is what I'm doing and I'm okay with it. And if it doesn't work out, guess what? I'll own it. And I'll say, hey, I'm going to go do this. Yeah. But as long as it is, and as it was, I was like, here's what I'm doing. Still doing it. Yep. Absolutely. And just kind of smile and think they don't get it. And I'm okay that they don't get it. They will one day.
But you do exist outside of the victim mentality. Make a point of existing outside of it, like overcoming it, because I do every motivational speaker, everybody in business like that really is sort of the common thread is like you exist outside of that. If you're going to be chasing that dream, it's like you're never blaming anybody. You're never accepting anything less than your own responsibility for something.
you have to have agency to be successful.
Yeah.
And a lot of us struggle with that because we always want to point the finger and blame other people for our circumstances, and maybe other people influence our circumstances or where we are. But blaming others, complaining about them, and making excuses never changes our situation. If we want to change where we are, or where we find ourselves today, we have to start by taking ownership. I maybe not did everything I could have to put myself in this position, but here's 2 to 3 things I could have done differently that I need to start doing differently going forward. Here's something I can do today to move and change my situation a little bit. So we have to have agency. Otherwise, you just feel like you're a victim of fate and your entire existence and success is up to other people. And I don't believe that at all. I believe we all have agency over our actions, our attitude, and our efforts. So how am I going to use them to get to where I want to go?
That is beautiful, man. It's kind of, oddly enough, though, it's funny how I feel like for some people, it might be considered a controversial approach to life, or just a road less traveled, you know, in such a strange way, you know?
Well, I mean,
it doesn't make sense why it would be, but some people would actually view it like that, you know, just
everybody loves to be the victim because you want the attention.
Yeah.
You get the attention and nothing's your fault. And for me, that's a sad fate. And for anybody listening that's pissed off, I don't really care. It's a sad fate to believe that your life is always outside of your hands and your control. I also think that, like, we all make choices every day that influence parts of where we are. We choose to stay in a job we hate instead of spending 1 to 2 hours at night building our resume, improving it, building our network, shopping on LinkedIn or Indeed. Like, those are choices. Oh, I just hate my job. I got stuck in a career. You can always change.
You can move. You can go do something else. Yeah.
So there are things you may not be able to do it overnight, but you can do it over time if you'll put in the work. And so
love it.
The victim mentality, you will never find an uber successful person with a victim mentality. There's some that have traces of it here and there, but for the most part, they all understand I am the master of my fate to a degree.
They'll overcome it.
And I am going to find a way to make this happen. And a lucky break is going to do me no good if I'm not working and ready for it. Meeting someone that creates a tipping point does me no good if I'm not ready and working for it. And so I'm going to do what's in my control to change my situation every day. And I'm not going to allow someone else to, quote, come save me. If I get help along the way, that's great, but I want to be ready when it's there.
Well, when it comes to help along the way, another question too, I'm always curious with how you, I guess, segment or compartmentalize advice given to you by other people, because whenever somebody inevitably is always going to tell you what their way is or how you should do it differently. They're always going to say, man,
are they doing what you want to do?
What's that?
I said, if the person's doing or has done what you want to be doing, advice is great. Always take something and learn from it.
Yeah.
But most people just want to give their opinions without having done it, been through the experience ever.
There's
rare occasions when I would take that advice. Very rare. As a speaker, I get off stages. You have people that want to come up after the event. They want to buy your book. They want to talk to you. They always want to give you ideas. Oh man, you know this. Cool. Have you ever gotten on stage and spoken in front of 20 people, much less 200? Well, no. And it's not like I'm saying that to them, but that in my head, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, that's cool. And so my speaker coach years ago had a plan that he was like, listen, he's like, I just tell people this. He's like, thank you so much for wanting to share some feedback from me. But because I'm carefully focused on what information I take in, I'm going to pass right now. And I don't mean that in a negative sense, or I don't want you to take it personally, but I only select feedback from certain individuals who understand what I'm doing, what my goals are, and where I'm trying to go. And he told people that. And I actually told a guy that who's a veteran speaker. He's been in the space. He's done well. But I just kind of politely was like, he was like, hey, can I give you some pointers? And I was like, actually, no. Like, we don't have that relationship to where I want to get some of that feedback.
I love it.
And so you have to be intentional with who you allow to either A, give you feedback.
Yeah.
Or B, which feedback you listen to. Because everybody may give it to you, but unless they're doing what you want or they have your best interest at heart, it doesn't help.
But it's too, like, just from a mental perspective, you know, even if you want to hear the advice and you want to put it into practice, you can only focus on so much. They're kind of just like taking a shovel and pouring more stuff on what you've already got there. And you're like, I'll get to it when I can, but that's not what's being focused on right now. So it's like you want to. But geez, look at how much you're already doing if you've started it from scratch with your own hands. It's like, you can't just take what they say and like, oh, get right on it, man. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and that's really it. Of like,
yeah,
it goes back to the same thing we talked about at the beginning of the show with social media. You have to be intentional with what you consume.
So
and that includes this too.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's awesome.